Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. This morning you tune me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. You tune me in at Ionia, WION 1430 or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and we're now being listened to in the Lowell area at 100.3 FM, and we welcome all of those of you from the Lowell area to be a part of our broadcast this morning. Others tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that's listening by way of my website is pastorkenharger.com. And then you go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Bring your mouse up on that, Messages from the Lighthouse, and you will see it show up. Current Media. Click on Current Media, and that will take you right to where the broadcast is for this morning. And I'm glad to have, whatever way you've tuned me in this morning, I'm glad to have you sharing with me in our broadcast time together. I'm coming to you from the Lighthouse. It's a Wednesday morning that I'm putting the service together. And it's a much cooler Wednesday than last Wednesday. It's got some coolness in the air, and that feels pretty good. Got a fisherman right out front here doing some fishing. And we just think that there's some special things going on at the lake throughout this weekend. On Sunday, we're going to be having a baptism here from Shiloh Community Church. So that's going to be a special time as people follow the Lord through the waters of baptism. As you join me this morning, I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial a cost of the broadcast. So a thank you to Gay London in memory and honor of her husband Dave from Greenville. A thank you to Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband Fran from Dayton, Tennessee. And to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from Orleans. And last Sunday, her family had a surprise birthday party for Gloria as she turned 90 years young. And that was very special, and that was a very special time for her. Doug and Noreen Lane from Sheridan, thank you for your financial support. And to Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belding area, thank you for your financial support. And as we come together this morning, I want to share with you the invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church at Shiloh. The weekend of worship, as we call it, starts Saturday evening, 6:30. Sunday morning, we have a 9 o'clock service, and then we have a contemporary service at 10:45. And in the Greenville area, at the campus, is the old Calvary Baptist Church on the corner of Grove and Luray, and that service is at 11 o'clock. So we're glad to have you join us at any one of those services, and trust God's blessing would be upon your life. Well, as I come to you, my message this morning is Jesus is the greatest divine coach ever. I want us to focus today on the fact of Jesus' greatness and what he means to us and what is a part of his individual life that he wants to share with us as we come together this morning. And one of the things that I like is that the scripture where we'll start tells us that Jesus was the Word of God in flesh. He came and was born a human, and it was God speaking through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And so we're going to start with a song that simply tells us that you and I are going to be standing on the promises of God. And that's something that is very important for each one of us, is to know the promises of God and then to stand on those promises as we understand how he works in each one of our lives. Well, it's my privilege to be with you, and God bless you. We'll listen in, and I'll be right back.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout. Standing on the promises.
on those promises of God. That's what he wants us to do. What God has said, God will perform. He always keeps his promises. And we need to stand upon those promises. By standing, that means that we're sticking with that. We're claiming that as God's promise to us as individuals. One of God's promises, that I really like is given to us when he tells us you can cast all of your care upon him because he cares for you. No matter what it is, no matter what we're facing, God is letting us know, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. God is letting us know that he really cares for each one of us. And he cares for my listening audience this morning. And so I'd like to bow for a moment of prayer and just remember the listening audience this morning that God might bless you in a very special way. Dear Father, once again, we come into your presence. And I'm thinking of the listening audience and whatever they've been going through this past week. Every week is such a changing thing in each one of our lives. And sometimes there's some beautiful things that happen and we get blessed and we enjoy. And Father, I want to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. But sometimes, Father, through the week, there's tears and we're told to weep with those who are weeping. So whatever the listening audience is going through this morning, I ask your special blessing of comfort, encouragement, and strength be upon them as an individual. Father, you've told us we can unload all of our care. We can dump it right on you, and you won't care a bit because you really care for each one of us. And I want each listening audience this morning, each person, to know that you care for them and what they're experiencing today. So, Father, we ask you come and honor your word, speak to our hearts, and show us that care that you have for us this morning. And we'll be thankful and praise you for that. In that wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake, amen. Well, the greatest divine coach ever. I believe it's a privilege when God can use your life and my life to help touch the life of somebody else. But the greatest divine coach ever is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he works in our lives as individual, but then also what he works in all the lives of those that are people who trust in him. I believe one of the greatest things in my life, as I look back, is the privilege to be used by God to help another person in their journey. Rather it be at a funeral, rather it be helping tie in a knot for the wedding, rather it be a visit in a hospital, whatever way it was and is that God works in my life to touch the life of somebody else. I believe that's just a wonderful thing. You know, Jesus one day was trying to warn the religious leaders. The religious leaders got all tied in about their religion and wasn't thinking about the people. Matter of fact, you know, one time Jesus said about the religious leaders, he said, they make all kinds of rules and regulations, and they don't even have to take one finger to try to help you lift whatever your burden is. And Jesus is totally different than that. And what we're going to talk about this morning is the realization that there's a greater one that has come into your life and mine in this person of Jesus to show us something that will be very special. As Jesus one day was speaking to the religious people, he said this from the book of Matthew chapter 12. On the judgment day, you people that live now will be compared with the people from Nineveh. And they will be witness to show you that you are wrong, you're guilty. Why? Because when Jonah preached to those people, they changed their heart and their lives. And you are listening to someone greater than Jonah, but you refuse to change. On the judgment day, you people that live now will also be compared to the queen of the south. She was a witness to show you are wrong or guilty. Why? Because she traveled far, far away to listen to Solomon as he was the wise teacher that he was. And I tell you that someone greater than Solomon is right here. But you won't listen. You won't change your minds. you won't change your hearts. Jesus is reminding those people of the things that happened in the past and how people responded to those leaders. And Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Savior of mankind. He's God's one and only Son. He is the Word become flesh. And these religious leaders are rejecting him. So Jesus gives these two past experiences for the religious skeptics of his day. In the past, foreigners recognized the greatness and wisdom of God's leader and responded to the truth when Jonah was speaking the truth. And these skeptics were not responding to the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, there's a greater than Jonah, there's a greater than Solomon. But these here religious leaders were not responding to the message of Jesus. There's so many times in Jesus' life when he mentioned that he was greater than Moses, he was greater than the angels, he was greater than Elijah, greater than John the Baptist. To reject such a great person is a dangerous thing. And besides that, we reject our hope. There's no hope without this one Christ. He's reminding us that the things that he's teaching, the things that he brought with him, the things that he demonstrated in his life. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's coming directly from the Father. And my favorite time that Jesus used the word great or greater, I use many times at funerals because it's something that I really believe in. And I have it in my Bible. And I love it. I sometimes refer to it, the Bible that I got, that's red letters of Jesus. All the words of Jesus are in red letters. And one day Jesus said this, talking about greater. Greater love can no man show than this, that he's willing to lay down his life for his friends. That's the greatness of God's love. And you know what? The Bible goes on to teach you and teach me. He says that God loved us while we were sinners. That God loved us when we were enemies of him. We didn't want anything to do with him. And yet God loved us. And greater love can no man show than a willingness to die for another. And the Lord Jesus died on that cross for your sins and for my sins. And so he's telling us, I care about you. One of the reasons why I believe Jesus is the greatest divine coach that there ever was is because of the fact, as I mentioned already once or twice, he's the Word of God. In the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He's saying Jesus was there at creation. But then God the Father, who loved this world so much, he sent his one and only Son to be the Word of God, to dwell with you and I. And as I study the teachings of the Lord Jesus, it is God's Word. As I study the teachings of the Lord Jesus that he did by his example, he's showing me what God would do. Like when he touched the lepers, like when he help the individuals in different things that they were going through in their life. They're the ones that were unable to walk, unable to talk, unable to hear. All the things that the Lord Jesus did was showing this greatest divine coach ever that really cared for what people was going through. And he was willing to become flesh. He was willing to identify with you and I as a human being. And that's given to us in John 1:14. And the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. And now listen to what it says. He was full of grace and truth. This one Jesus was full of grace and truth. and grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ, he goes on to say. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared to us what the Father is like. It's a realization that in this one Jesus, no wonder I call him the greatest divine coach ever. He was God in the flesh, dwelling amongst us on planet Earth, becoming one of us so he might understand us and he might be able to be a help to us as individuals. I love the way this greatness is explained in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." He said he was God. He was equal with God the Father. There's God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son, and they all make up the Trinity, and it's three persons in one God. And you know something? He said he was willing to set aside all that he had with the Father. Goes on to explain it this way. This one Jesus, who be in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but listen to what it says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form not only of a man, but of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man or a person, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, point of death, even to death on the cross. Therefore, because of all that he did, God the Father also highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name. God is reminding us this blessing that he has for your life and my life is all because of this great one, Jesus. His willingness to lay aside, to empty himself, so to speak, of all that he had with the Father, and to come and be born a baby in a manger, learning how to talk, learning how to walk, growing in stature, growing in wisdom, and he grew in favor with God and man. And then he does his ministry. And all the time that he was busy, the 3 years or so that he was doing his ministry, he was healing all kinds of people and helping everyone with the things that they were going through. He was giving teachings that the people had never heard before. Often they said, he speaks different than these religious leaders of our day. He talks in a way I can understand. He talks in a way that he has authority. He knows what he is talking about. You know, something that's so important for us to get a hold of that is he became obedient to death. God can't die. God is eternal. Eternity past, eternity future. But when Jesus became flesh, then he could die upon that cross. And he became obedient to the fact that we're going to die, that every human is going to die. Now, Jesus is a human, and he became obedient to that truth. Sometimes, you know, when I do funerals and sometimes when I listen to folks talk about this thing called death, it's like it's never going to happen. I'll always like to explain it this way. When I was born and when you was born, I believe without a doubt we was born with an expiration date. I get my milk jug out. It has an expiration date. Canned goods have expiration dates. Food has expiration dates. Medication has expiration date. You know, when I was born and you was born, we was born with an expiration date. But I'm so glad the Father didn't stamp it on my forehead, that every time I shave, I realize how much closer I'm getting to that expiration date. God's kept it a secret. Just recent funerals that I have done, one was 46, two of them were 53. That's pretty young, folks. That's pretty young. Death is a part of life. It seems as though you and I need to be doing what Jesus did, becoming obedient to the fact that death is going to one day be mine. Death is going to one day be yours. And Jesus became obedient to that, that he was going to have to die. But he also became obedient even to death on a cross. In Jesus' day, that was the worst kind of death you could experience. In Jesus' day, the Jewish people stoned people. They throwed stone on them. But it was the Roman government that set up crucifixion. And he was going to, he knew one day he would become obedient to the death of the cross. Yesterday just a few moments ago, we learned about the city of Nineveh, how they repented at the preaching of Jonah, who really did not want to preach. He really didn't want to even go to the city of Nineveh. He was running away when God called him and sent him down to fish until he changed his mind. You know something? Even after he preached, when the people repented, he wasn't excited about that. God was. God says, this is a wonderful thing. He forgave them. And Jonah sets off on the side and pouts. Now, that's not Jesus, folks. A greater than Jonah is here. The opposite is true when we think about the Lord Jesus. He was willing, even though he was equal with the Father, he was willing to empty himself of all that he had with the Father and to become one of us. And to know what it is like to hurt, to know what it is like to cry, to know what it is like to get tired, to know what it is like to be misused. He did all of this and he showed his obedience to the God the Father and to the purpose of his coming when he went to that cross of Calvary. I love what the Father says. Therefore, in view of all that Jesus did, therefore, the Father gave him a name that is above every name. Listen to what it says. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue shall acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. I got to tell you, folks, the time to do it is now when we're on planet Earth. You and I bow to the person of Jesus, bow our knee and say, you are who you said you was. And I believe you died for my sins. I confess with my mouth that you are my Savior. That's going to bring glory to God. But all of those that don't want to do it on planet Earth, come in the time when every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is who he really says he is. What a Savior we have, folks. What a privilege we have to be able to have this one to come and live in our lives. We was talking about in the days gone by how he uses us. Now we're finding out he's the greatest divine coach ever. Got a song I want us to listen to, and this song is saying, what a Savior we have. What a powerful person he is. What a blessing he is to our life, and how much he brings to us. So we'll listen to this song, and I'll be right back and share the message, the rest of the message with you. God bless you.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, a lost soul like me.
Well, folks, that's what we got to get a hold of. He gave his life's blood even for me. Jesus was willing to become obedient to death, even for me, even for you. I ask myself, why would he be willing to do that? This brings me to another reason why I believe Jesus is the greatest divine coach ever. Is because of his tremendous compassion he had. All the way through the scriptures we read as we study the ministry of the Lord Jesus, that he was moved with compassion. Then Jesus went through all the cities and the villages, and he was teaching in the synagogue, giving them the word of God, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. This one, Jesus, was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered. And the way he described it, Jesus said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. They need someone to lead them. They need someone to guide them. And Jesus had such tremendous compassion for mankind that he wanted to be their leader. The great multitudes came in another portion of Scripture, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, and they saw the maimed being made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Now Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on this multitude. Man, you know that's true. He's just been doing anything he can to help them. But now he says this, because they have continued with me these 3 days, Jesus said, they've been here for 3 days. I want to feed them. They have nothing to eat. Listen to this compassion of Jesus. I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on their way home. That's the compassion of Jesus. They've been with him 3 days, and he wants to feed them. The disciples got all nervous, and they said, there's no place to get food out here. It would take so much food to feed this big group of 5,000 people or better. They found a little boy's lunch, just a few little fishes and some little biscuits. And the Lord Jesus fed the multitude of people. That's the compassion of this one, Jesus. That's the compassion of this one that wants to touch your life and touch my life. I like the King James Version when it says Jesus was moved with compassion. I came across this statement in my study, and I just like to share it with you. Other versions sometimes translate that as Jesus took pity on them, or else Jesus not only took pity, but his heart went out to them. Those are good thoughts, but they fall short of the meaning of the word compassion. Moved with compassion is more than feeling pity or more than feeling sympathy for them. It is that gut-wrenching pit in our stomach that we've all had from time to time, feeling when we've gone through something that really bad has happened. When all of a sudden we feel that inside of us so strong. That's the feeling Jesus had when he saw hurting people. I love the fact that the Bible teaches that as we grow in our Christian life, we are to become more like Jesus. And one of the ways I believe that Jesus wants us in this day and age that we're a part of to be like him is to be moved with compassion, for us to feel the pain that somebody else is feeling, for us to identify with what they're going through. We need to become this in our lives, to be like Jesus. I don't believe you and I can ever do that perfectly like Jesus did. We don't have that ability and that power. But I believe Jesus wants us to be busy with this kind of an attitude of compassion and care. I like this little thought I came across. Moved with compassion, serving the needs of others. moved with compassion, serving the needs of others. That's what we see Jesus doing, folks. That's what we see Jesus doing. And we need to know that's something that is very special and something that God would love to produce in your life and my life. But more than that, I want you to understand that whatever you're going through this morning, whatever difficulty there is in your life today, I want you to know that Jesus looks at you with compassion. He's reaching out with you with more than pity. He wants to be a source of encouragement to your life and whatever you're going through. I believe Jesus Christ is the greatest divine coach because this word became flesh and because of what he's done. When I think of the Bible, the Word of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his compassion he had, when we read about the Word of God, listen to what it says about God's Word. For the Word of God is living, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrows, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to his eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God's word is powerful. I love the description of God's word as living and powerful. It is the living word of God, he tells us, for all generations, for all times, even this so-called information age. Listen to what he says, because it is the living word of God, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. And here's how he tells us, you and I come to Jesus and know him because of the Word of God, the Word which lives and abides forever. God's words are going to last forever. And not only that, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And this Word of God goes to work in separating things in your life and my life. We realizing that that's something that is very powerful. You know, it's like the laser surgery, which is focused is a focused beam of light to remove various tissues, and control the bleeding. You know what it does? It cuts and it heals at the same time. It's used to cut away the destroyed tissue that is abnormal or diseased without harming healthy. Normal tissues and shrink and destroy tumors. That's what laser surgery does, and it's used a lot. I think we need to know that this one Jesus, he's that kind of living word. He is powerful. I love what the Bible says about itself. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. God's word is profitable for doctrine, for teachings. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. When you and I are going down the wrong way, God's word can show us what is the right way. It's for instructions in how we should live. You know why? That you and I as a person of God might be thoroughly equipped, have all the equipment we need to do the work of God. God wants us to do his work, but he wants us to do it in light of his word. One of my favorite verses about the Bible simply says this, thy word is a light unto my path. Thy word is a light unto my path. My second favorite words about the Bible is this, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. God's word we need to know. That's why I love preaching God's word. God's word is that Jesus is compassionate to you and to me. But that compassion is really explained in another way when they talk about the greatness of the Lord Jesus. And so kind of rally around our finishing part of our message this morning. You know, God's word is powerful. But he also mentions the fact that we need somebody to go between you and I. He talks about Jesus being the high priest. The high priest's job was he was the the go-between between God and man. And oftentimes he was the go-between between two people that were not getting along with one another. And Jesus is spoken of in the book of Hebrews as the great high priest. But before I go into that portion of scripture, I want to share another Bible verse that I really like. And I need to tell you this story because it is something that really happened. I had taken this verse and put it in a big words and then put it in a frame, about a 8x10 frame. I put this verse, and this verse says this: "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." I had that verse on a, like I said, in a picture frame, 8.5x11. We had our cabin, and by the door of the cabin, you come in, when I first bought the cabin, it had a little porch you came into, and then there was the door. And so I hung it there by the door. And one time, somebody came, and they broke into that cabin. They stole some things from my cabin, and when I got up there and see that they had jammed the door, broke the door apart, and got in, and then I see that verse still hanging there, I said, "God, that verse, could you use that in the lives of these people who broke into my cabin and stole things? There's one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due season." I just prayed a little prayer as I as my cabin, instead of getting angry that somebody broke in and violated my privileges and my rights and so on. Instead of that, I prayed, "Lord, maybe someday in heaven, somebody will come and tap me on the shoulder and said, 'You don't know me, but I got to know God through you.' They say, 'I broke into your cabin,' and it was a Bible verse on the side of the door, that after I did that, that Bible verse kept working away in my heart." That's what God's word can do. It's quick and it's powerful. You know, the Lord Jesus is trying to show us. He's our go-between. He goes between God and us. He takes the hand of God, and he takes the hand of you and I, and he brings those hands together. It's the Jesus that does this. And I love the description of this given to us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. "Since we have a great high priest, who this one Jesus has passed through the heavens, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest that is unable to sympathize with us, with our weaknesses, but we have a high priest who is able in every respect, has been tempted as you and I are, and yet he was without sin. Let us therefore come with confidence and draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and have grace to help in the time of need." Notice that word. He's our great high priest. He's in heaven. He reminds us. No one condemns. Jesus is there to give, to plead your case and my case. He's seated right at the right hand of God. You can't get any closer to that. He's interceding for you. He's interceding for me. And we learn that he does it with sympathy. Not only did Jesus have compassion, but he had sympathy. He felt what we feel. He had gone through everything. He was tempted in every way like we. Matter of fact, some of it, I believe he was even worse off than I've ever been. I have never been spit at. Jesus was, they spit in his face. Jesus, they plucked his beard from him. Jesus, they blindfolded him one time and slapped him and said, "Now, who slapped you? You're supposed to be this God thing. Who slapped you?" They treated him so terribly. He was rejected of mankind. And then the greatest thing was that he was willing to die that terrible death that he did on the cross. They drove spikes into his hands, spikes into his feet. They pierced his side. And even when he was dying, there was no words of comfort. There was no words of encouragement. They spoke out against him. I got to tell you, folks, Jesus went through a lot. And you know why he did that? So he could understand whatever you're going through in your life. He's there to show sympathy for you. And he's there to show sympathy for me. And he wants us to know that he feels the weakness that we feel. You know, sometimes that weakness is described about the idea of our inabilities. Sometimes it could even be described as our handicaps. Jesus feels our handicaps. Whatever it is that keeps you sometime from doing something because you don't think you can capable of doing it. But we get a picture like this from heaven. It's a picture that there's God the Father sitting on his throne. And right next to him on the right hand is this one Jesus. And he's interceding in your behalf. He's saying, "Father, they're going through a tough time." And Jesus sympathizes with that. And he comes to the Father. You know what he says? Now you can do. You can come to that same throne where God the Father is sitting on the throne. And there's Jesus at the right hand of God the Father. And he says, "I want you to come with confidence. As you come to this throne of grace, I'm glad it's called a throne of grace, that unmerited favor that I don't deserve and you don't deserve, he reaches out and gives to us. Listen to what he says, that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in your time of need." You know what God's really saying, folks? He's wanting us to reach out to him, knowing that he feels what you feel. He feels your weaknesses. He suffered like you are. He is fully qualified on your behalf to express the depths of what you're going through personally in your life, because he was tested as you and I are tested. I like this idea. Give God your weaknesses, and God will give you his strength. May I say that again? Give God your weaknesses, and he will give you his strength. The Apostle Paul put it a little different way when one time he went to the Lord and he prayed about a problem he was having. He is having a problem, and he prayed three times, "God, take the problem away." And God didn't take the problem away. And finally, he heard the Lord say to him, "Paul, in your weakness, you find my strength. My grace is sufficient for you." He said, we'll find grace when we come to this one God. And now he's telling that grace is sufficient to take you whatever you've gone through. That grace will help you through that difficult time that you're experiencing in your life. And then you know what Paul did after that? Every time he was go through something difficult, he learned God's grace is sufficient. And then Paul said, "In my weakness, I found strength." That's what God wants us to know. That's why he wants us to come to him. That in our weakness, we can find strength that comes from this greatest divine coach of ever. Jesus Christ, reaching out to you and reaching out to me to bring about the goodness that he wants to bring about in your life and my life. Well, my time's pretty well gone, so I got to think about a song we're going to listen to, and this song is going to be an encouragement to us as we wrap up our time together today. But dear people, God is reaching out to us in such a special way. And I just want you to know that the main purpose of this message was to know, for you to know, that God reaches out to you in compassion and in sympathy. And when you and I become like the Lord Jesus, God wants us to reach out the same way. He wants us to reach out to the hurting of your family, the hurting of your neighborhood, and he wants us to reach out with that same kind of compassion that he has for us. He wants us to have for others. I've enjoyed being with you this morning. God bless each one of you as you go through this next week. Bye-bye.
Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus is the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how just from